I am Robin Butler. My guest today is Gail A. Ricketts. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Happy to be here.
So, Gail, you are founder and CEO of Ready to Roll Transportation, Inc. And I know you can't say the names of some of the celebrities that you drive around, but some of the top brands you work with are Dolce & Gabbana, Balenciaga, and Chopard. Huge fashion brands. So before we dive into your journey, I'm curious, what's required to drive people in fancy cars to fancy places compared to what's required to drive really famous people from like the top level in the entertainment industry in fancy cars to fancy places? What's the difference there?
Well, I think the attention to detail in about any job, any career, any industry, really sets you apart. It's anybody can deliver a good, but when you have specific criteria that you have your staff follow, when the attention is all about the client, when you make them feel like royalty, so to speak, that is sort of our catchphrase. We want everybody to feel like royalty. We want them to feel special. Anybody can have a car that's a brand new car. They can have a chauffeur that is trained. But it's a feeling that you give the client. It's really an experience you give them. That's what sets us apart, not only from the chauffeurs, but how, when they call and make a reservation, that they have the feeling that they're known, that we care about them. And even when it comes down to the billing, if they, we have a communication system where if they have a want to talk about it, we don't call them back in 3 days. We help them. So every level of it, whether it's a dispatcher, driver, back office, we all strive to care so much about our client and make sure that they feel that they're seen and heard.
Wow. So moving on to your inner journey. When and how did that inner journey start?
Well, it started with a vacancy. I was raised in a religion, and I dropped the religion when I went to college. And in my 40s, I began to feel like I was missing some spirituality. I was, you know, having success in business, but there was just a component missing. And that vacancy, I felt like it needed to be filled. And I was able to come into contact with Ananda Giri Ji, who is one of the senior faculty members here. And I heard him talk and lecture. And what he was saying made such good common sense that it wasn't spirituality, so to speak. It was just a philosophy that he was talking about. And it just made such great sense that I wanted to learn more. And that's when I started following O&O, was after hearing him and getting deeper and deeper into the teachings. And it was over a long period of time for me. It wasn't like this year I heard him and next year I'm in India.
Was there anything happening in your life at the time that kind of led to that? Were there any struggles, or was this just something you were inspired to join and to learn more about?
Good question. At first, it was just to learn more about. It was just, like I said, an area that I felt had a vacancy. And then I did have a very painful experience at my work. Not to go into too many details, but so I have a business in New York City and I have a business in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, we had the drivers take the cars home every night so they didn't have to come back to my base, turn in the car, and then go back home. Mm-hmm. Like, my base is in Santa Monica. Some of the drivers live in West Hollywood. Some of our clients live in West Hollywood. So instead of them coming back to Santa Monica, which, for those that have no idea where the distance It's only about maybe 15 miles, but it could take up to an hour in certain traffic. So we allowed them to take the cars home. At the time, there were lawyers going around to drivers, mostly at the airports, and asking the drivers, do you take the car home? Which, that was common in my industry.
Okay.
And what happened was the lawyer said, are you getting paid when you keep the car? And they said, no. Hmm. So they mounted a class action lawsuit saying that, in fact, they were working because they had my car keys. At the time, it was a two-way communication device called a Nextel, and my car. So, in essence, I should be paying them to have the car overnight. And because it was a class action lawsuit, everybody that had worked for me for a period of 3 years in this said period of time was part of the class action lawsuit, which was about a $3 million lawsuit.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so I felt betrayed. I felt that here I thought I was doing a really nice thing for my chauffeurs. They accommodating their time. They actually had to spend less time at work. Mm. So, lawyered up, got ready. You know, got ready and did fight. But what was happening to me is I wasn't sleeping at night. I was just furious. I started to think, you know, bad things about the chauffeurs, and yet they were still my employees. So I was having, like, I can't believe I have to keep this guy, you know, working, even though he's, you know, betraying me. And my story about how good I was and how bad they were. And I was in pain. I was losing sleep. I was in a bad mood. I was letting it affect my East Coast business as well. During the peak of my upset, I did come for the first time to O&O. And through the teachings, through my awareness, I totally transformed my reactions. Nothing changed. I still had lawyers. I still had the same lawsuit happening. But what changed was my reaction to it. One of the most startling, I'll say the word startling, concepts that I learned at O&O was that you have a problem and you have a reaction. They don't go hand in hand. You can have a problem and you can have a reaction. The reaction is what's happening on the inside. The problem is what's happening on the outside. The inside needs awareness. There's so many things that I learned about my inside through my journey. So I was learning that I was participating in my upset. Not only was I participating, at first I was creating my upset. It was a story I was telling myself. Mm. It wasn't about living in the present. It was about, in the future, I'm not going to have my company anymore. It was all about something that happened in the future or something that happened in the past. I learned to identify what was going on. That was the inside job. The outside job needed a solution. Yes, there was a problem. We're not denying that there was a problem or not. But it needed a strategy. It needed, my lawyers to help. It didn't need me to get upset. That was not going to help the solution at all, me being upset. The only thing me being upset did was made me upset. So when I could clearly see that there's two different things going on here, there's a problem that needs a solution, and there's my thinking that is tripping me all up, that I can calm down and realize that it's not helping me at all. That, as a matter of fact, when I'm calmer, I can come up with much better solutions than I can when I'm upset. This problem or this situation rather, went on for maybe 4 years. So thank God I was able to, in the beginning of this 4 year problem, come to peace and come to serenity about it.
Wow.
And yeah. So the problem was, you know, working itself out. But in the meantime, I was not upset at all. I, you know, went on with my business. And matter of fact, you know, I'd forget about it. And then finally, when we had the resolve, you know, somebody came up to me and said, "Oh, you must be so happy. It's finally over." And I thought to myself, you know what? It's just another day. I haven't been like thinking about it. It was just, yeah, I guess I'm happy. You know, of course I'm happy, but it wasn't like, yeah. But without those lessons that I had learned, without Krishnaji teaching us that, you know, these are two different things, you know, they don't go hand in hand. You don't absolutely need to be upset if you have a problem when you can see that they're separate things. It gives you such a peace of mind. And that's what happened to me. One of the many things that happened, but that was the big hook for me to realize how life-changing this work has been.
So for you to reach that place of calm?
Yes.
Was it just the understanding that did it for you? Or were you doing practices and meditating? Or yeah, what else were you doing to reach that calm place?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not real easy just to go, oh, I get it. You know, it just doesn't happen in a day. What happens to me, my experience, was that it was a constant awareness of when I was getting this surge of anger, I could identify it. And I became aware, oh, I'm getting angry. And for me, what happens is sometimes I feel it, a sensation in my body. So I might not know that I'm getting angry, but I can feel I'm getting angry. So when I check in my body, or I could feel something happening, I go, oh, wait a minute, let me slow down. Let me hit the pause button. Let me see what's going on. And then I realize that I'm upsetting myself with a thought about something in the future that's going to happen. I go, let's just stop here. Then could be 2 minutes later, same thing happens. And I'd realize, let's just stop. The more I did this, the longer the periods of serenity would be. You know, at first it was just, I'd be in reaction and reaction and reaction. Then I became aware and I thought, well, wait a minute, I just became aware of this. Why am I still having this issue? 2 minutes ago, I was aware of it and here it is again. But the more that I could identify what my thought was about it, what my story was I was telling myself about it, then the length of time between my upset got longer and longer until it hardly ever came again. So it's you know what they say, it's practice. So when you practice identifying your feelings that are upsetting you, when you practice seeing that it's a projection, usually when we project something that is the most horrible thing that can ever happen. It's not like a tiny thing. It's just like, oh my God, you know, and then I'm going to go out of business and then I'm going to have no friends and then I'm going to die. You know, you take it to, you know, the worst case scenario.
If there's anything that is at the core, what you've learned, what would that be? Is there one specific teaching that you feel really resonates with you? One thing that Krishnaji or Preetaji share with the world that you really hooked onto?
Ah, well, one thing that I love, and I'm not sure it's like the most impactful, but it certainly made me giggle and think that it was right on, was if you are if you are suffering, and suffering is, if you're having a problem and you're like blaming somebody else for it, or of course we all like to blame somebody. If we're having a problem, it's got to be, you know, because of somebody else. It can't be anything but, you know, you did this to me. It's like being in the ocean and like holding a brick. You know, you're holding on to this problem, but who's going to drown? You know, the person that's created this problem for you, or you, you know? It's just like, you just, you know, have to let go, you know, of the suffering with it, you know, so you can like get on with it.
Do you meditate now? Is that a regular practice for you? Mm. What meditations do you do? How long do you meditate? Mm. And, yeah, what does that give to you?
Well, I do meditate every day. I mostly do it in the morning. It's part of my morning routine. If I'm traveling or have an early morning, I sometimes don't do it right away in the morning. But I've learned that meditation is not necessarily sitting for an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and just breathing. Meditation can happen in like 2-3 minutes. It doesn't have to, time doesn't dictate how long it's going to take you to be present and calm down. Mm. And I think for me, meditation, the most important thing is sort of like an alignment. When you stand up straight, everything's in alignment. This is sort of getting my mind in alignment and just calming the chatter down so that I'm not thinking about, you know, many, many, many things. And it's really hard to do, is to, you know, shut yourself up sometimes, you know. And sometimes for me, through breathing, I can just completely get calm. Other times it takes me a long time to just quiet the mind and then open yourself up. I always ask for guidance for the day. You know, please allow me to access my higher power to guide me through the day, to help me make right decisions, to help me be intelligent through the day, to help me have compassion for people, to help me let them feel that I care about them.
So you mentioned that you were brought up religiously.
Yeah.
Moving into this work, was that like an issue for you with religion? Do you feel this went against religion? How did that kind of all fit together for you?
Well, I was raised as a Christian Scientist. I don't know if you know anything about that religion.
Not really, no.
Well, I think this might be true with any religion. You think your religion when you grow up is the only religion there is, and everybody else's, their religion isn't as good as your religion, you know? That it's just like, this is the way it is, and those poor people don't know, you know, how it should be. And this study that I'm doing now and have been doing does not interfere with any religion at all. And I stopped practicing that religion when I went to college. But there's absolutely no conflict that, because this, what we're studying here is more of a philosophy, a way of thinking. Like I said before, there's so much common sense that you can't argue with you can't argue with the truth. You can try and twist it and make it seem like it's something else, but, you know, truth is the truth. Mm. So I would say that I have friends that I've encouraged to come who are religious, and they say, no, I've got my religion. But this has nothing to do with religion.
Have friends and, I don't know, family who might know about this inner journey that you're taking. Mm-hmm. possibly colleagues that know about it. Has anyone found it like strange or weird, or has the reaction been like, oh, that's cool?
Well, the reaction has been, well, they said, oh my God, Gail, you know, you've become such a beautiful person.
Wow.
And some friends have, you know, I'm not one to like push, you know, I mean, a terrible salesperson. You know, I don't go around saying, oh, you got to come to this. But I have had so many friends come just because they see what a difference it's made, you know, especially around the lawsuit when everybody was like on my side and said, yeah, now how could they do that to you? And just see how I reacted to it. It's like, as one friend said, it's sort of like you just start hitting a little speed bump in your way. You know? It's like you didn't drive off the cliff. You just hit a little speed bump. And so I've had friends that have joined in on some of the meditation. I did want to mention, too, when you said, do I meditate? So Preetha G and Krishna G have created an app. I'm sure you listen to it, too. And
oh, yeah.
I just
yes.
want to tell you that there is, I don't know, 50 now different.
Many.
It seems like every time I look at it, I go, oh, I didn't see this one. But what I really love about it is there's like a 2-minute meditation. There's a 20-minute meditation. Mm-hmm. You have a menu of like, how am I feeling? What do I want to, okay, I'll do this, you know, this one, or I'll do that one. I'm feeling like I'm very chaotic right now, so I'll do the one about, you know, calming down. So that is, I actually do it when I'm in the car driving to work. I'll turn on the app, and of course I can't close my eyes. But
yeah, eyes open.
But I can do the breathing. But it's just so calm. I mean, even if you're not, you know, completely, you know, in a quiet space, it's wonderful. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
How has this whole experience, and it sounds like almost with all the people on your side, they must have, like, what's happened with Gail? She's become so at ease, like this class action lawsuit against you. How have you changed internally with around friends and family? How is your experience of connecting with others? Mm. Maybe if you were to compare Gail from 10 years ago to Gail now, what's the difference?
I would say 10 years ago, Gail was always in a hurry.
Mm.
I mean, living in New York, everybody's in a hurry, you know? And what has happened over the years is that I've calmed down. But how I've calmed down is I've learned to, you know, if I'm having something comes up, I just take a moment, just, you know, hit the pause button and then move on. But it's like we create such big deals about stuff that, what was that saying? You make mountains out of molehills, you know? And we tend to do that to, you know, like the simplest thing, like let's say, you know, a pipe broke in our house or something. It's like, oh my God. It's just like the biggest, you know, no, you can turn off the water, get a plumber, get it fixed, you know? Mm. It's not an emotional event. It's a problem, you know? So I've learned to separate the problem and not have a big, huge emotional event.
Mm.
And like I was telling a friend, it's just like, it's so nice to be calm, you know, sitting in traffic in New York City and still be calm with all the horns, blasting. it's a real, I mean, if nothing else, it's a healthy way of being, is just to find that calm and peace.
Mm.
And, you know, it affects probably every organ in your body.
Mm. That's really, really amazing, Gail. Mm-hmm. Just to finish off, I'd like to share when I was just walking to my room and I heard someone laughing behind me, just some people, and someone laughing, and I turned around and it was you. And it was this beautiful loud laugh, and I'm hearing your laughs just about everywhere you are. So I've really, really enjoyed this interview. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for sharing your laughter everywhere where you are.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, it's been wonderful.